Okay, let's get started with today's lesson. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. Today we're going to cover two important subjects. We're going to cover circumcision and the Passover. In verse 19 of chapter 4, it says, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho." All right, this is the 10th day of the first month. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. In Exodus 12, verse 3, says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now, you know that chapter 12 of Exodus is right when they were fixing to leave Egypt. They are fixing to get out of there, and that's when they start where God lets them know about how to observe the Passover. And so the first thing you do on the 10th day of that first month, which is April, you are to put up a lamb. Now it has been exactly 40 years later, and we're fixing to celebrate Passover for the third time. They celebrated it right before they left Egypt. They celebrated in Numbers chapter 9, I believe, verses 1 through 5. That was at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they celebrated it again right after they crossed over the Jordan. Each time, the significance was the passing over, the passing through, and showing the power of God. The reason, Exodus 12, verses 26 and 27. You're already there in Exodus 12. "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That you will say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." God delivered them out of bondage to Satan. Now they are entering into Jordan, and they need his deliverance. He has already delivered them through the wilderness, through many battles that they had as they came up to the Jordan, and now he is going to have to deliver them through all their fights in the land of Canaan. He has promised them he would, and now they are believing him that he will do that, an act of faith. And he says, we're going to celebrate the Passover again. But now before he celebrates the Passover with them one more time, there's another thing that comes into play that he asks them to do, and that's the rite of circumcision. So what they do on the 10th day, they put up their lamb in preparation of celebrating the Passover on the 14th day. On the 11th day, we take up our story in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, with his directions again to them. "And it came to pass, Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were on the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time." Now, it says again the second time. They were not circumcised during the wandering in the wilderness. They had not been circumcised because they had broken covenant with God. And so their not circumcising their children was to show this broken covenant. Now that their covenant was reestablished, God said it's time to circumcise all the children that were born during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And in verse 3, "Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins." Now, these sharp knives were made out of rock, a special kind of rock. It was flint rock. And this is what they traditionally have always used. Even when they had knives that they could very well have circumcised the people, they always went back and they used the flint rocks. Of course, we all know that a rock stands for Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that does the circumcising. But we know from the New Testament, Paul says that it's not important to be circumcised in the flesh, that circumcision avails nothing. But what does it avail? What does it mean? Well, that's what we're going to look at here. Joshua circumcises the people in order to put them back into a right relationship with him. But we know that it's always been a spiritual thing. Well, what does it mean? Well, I went back to Genesis 17 to try to get some sense out of this. So let's go there. Genesis 17. And this is where God institutes the rite of circumcision. And, of course, it's talking with Abraham, who is as yet still called Abram. Chapter 17, verse 1, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect or mature. I will make my covenant between me and thee. I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, thy seed after thee, their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And continue on verse 9, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." It just continues on. Verse 13, "He that is born in thy house, he that is brought up with thy money, must needs be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. This uncircumcised man or child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." Well, notice how many times God uses the word multiply and seed. Why is it that God picked this particular thing to establish the covenant? Every time, well, we've got in verse 2, multiply. We've got in verse 4, father of many nations. We've got in verse 6, fruitful. We've got verse 7, twice, about the seed. Verse 8, the seed. It just continues on. In other words, this is out of the, this male organ is the flow of life. Well, it, of course, is just symbolism. We know from the New Testament that it doesn't mean anything anymore. A man can be circumcised or not. It's not important to God. It's not spiritually important to God. What is important is what? Where is the life flow of man? We know that the life flow of man is in the heart. Let's turn to Colossians 2. In Colossians 2:11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, or by Christ, circumcision by Christ, which by Christ is really the proper reading of that. And that gets us back to Joshua, where Joshua, who stands for Christ, Joshua, the word Joshua means Savior. And we know that in the Bible, Joshua stands for Jesus Christ. Joshua circumcised the foreskins of the people after they had passed over the Jordan, getting them back into a covenant relation with God. Relationship with God. Joshua circumcised them. It was by Joshua's hand that they were circumcised. Well, here again, we're in verse 11 of Colossians. It was a circumcision by Christ. Now, notice in verse 12, buried with him in baptism. As you go through the Jordan River, it is a symbolism of being buried with him, being dead, dead to our sins, dead to ourself, dead to our own desires, dead to those things. Well, if you're dead to those things, you don't have them anymore. We are to reckon ourselves dead. And then, after we are reckoned ourselves dead, we are to reckon ourselves, as this verse goes on, we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him. He has forgiven us all our trespasses. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross. And the how he did it was he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We are to reckon ourselves dead and to be risen with Jesus Christ, the circumcision of the heart. Well, how do we do this? In chapter 3 of Colossians, still in Colossians, let's do it again. Verse 1, if ye then being risen with Christ, we are to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you're going to appear with him in glory. Now, look at verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify, that means put to death. All right, what does he mention first? The very first thing he mentions is that organ that is circumcised. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence, I can't even pronounce that word, but what it means is to lust after what is forbidden. Covetousness, that pretty much means the same thing, only one of them is talking about a sexual connotation and the other one is talking about anything. And this lusting after things both sexual and non-sexual, it is called, that last word there, idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the time which ye walked in some time when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Continues on in that same vein. The whole chapter, it's beautiful. Talking about the circumcision of the heart. We are to be circumcised in our heart. And we do that by mortifying, cutting off those things that are displeasing to God. And this puts us into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Now back to Joshua chapter 5. In verse 4. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that were come up out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came up out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, and that he would give us, a land that flows with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Now, this word reproach means disgrace. He has rolled away the disgrace of Egypt from off you. This is rolled away by circumcision. The circumcision of the heart. When we give our hearts to the Lord, and this fresh commitment we talked about last week in our lesson as we cross over the Jordan, it's that second commitment. It's that commitment to say, I want to walk it your way, Lord. I know that I am not happy with just being a Christian. That's just not enough. I want more. I want everything that you told me I could have. I want it not only to know it that it's in the Bible. I want not only to know where the verses are. I don't want to just have head knowledge of it. I want to experience it. I want to put it to practice in my life. Whatever you want, I'm willing to do it. We've done that. And now he calls us to a new holiness. We don't get away with that childish stuff anymore. We don't get away with saying, hey, I'm human. I'm a sinner. It's okay. It is true. We know that this is true. We are sinners, but it's not okay to excuse it in ourselves. After we've crossed over the Jordan, and I like to call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit experience, whatever you want to call it, a second experience with Him, a real commitment, a revival in our hearts where it's not good enough to be saved. The only thing that's going to be good enough is by living every day to what He tells you, what He speaks to your heart. Every day, something new. Every day saying, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Well, when we do that, when we make Him Lord of our life, something happens. He begins to circumcise our heart. It's not a one-time only thing. It happens over and over and over again. As He shows us our sins and we allow Him to take that flint knife to our heart and cut away that dead tissue, that I think the word is necrotic. It's putrefying flesh. As He cuts away that part of us, then we are being circumcised in our heart. We are mortifying the flesh. We're putting it down. We're saying no to that body. We mentioned last week that was such an unpopular part of last week's lesson. When you allow Him to let you walk in that newness of saying no to that lustful man that lives inside of you, you are being circumcised. Your heart is being circumcised. And the reproach of Egypt, the disgrace of Egypt. And listen, when we get saved, our old man is still very much alive and well. Immediately upon salvation, it's highly likely that some of these sins have rolled away immediately. As we've walked through the Red Sea waters, it's possible that we have been washed from some of the sins that have plagued us, that we no longer want to do them. I've heard stories like that, and I know that it's true. But I also know from experience in my life that there is very much that's still hanging on and hangs on for years. Sins that are not gotten rid of, that only that commitment to make Him Lord of our life, the Lord of our life, you hear that? L-I-F-E. In the Bible, in the New Testament, that means Zoe. That word means abundant life. He is our Savior when we walk through the Red Sea. But He isn't Lord of our life. Not unless you have done it all in one fell swoop, which is not the normal. The normal is for people to do it in two steps. Maybe even three. Maybe more. But anyway, He becomes Lord of our life. And that life is now that abundant life that He has come to give us, that Zoe life, where what has been promised us becomes our experience, where we have learned to take off the ring and use it, the signet ring, and use His authority in the kingdom. So as soon as we walk through the Jordan and make Him Lord of our life, He begins to circumcise us. Now, it's important to look at this. What day did the circumcision occur on? Well, it occurred on the 11th day. If you've got your papers, what does the number 11 mean? If you're going to, let's look it up. 11 means judgment. We have been judged. When He looks at us, when He looks at those sins, He judges them as sins. We judge them as sins. I see myself for what I am. And it's judged. It is judged here. The Bible says that if we would judge ourselves, we won't be judged. If I'll judge myself now, here in this time, right now, here on this earth, I will not face Jesus Christ in the judgment for that sin. Once it's rolled off of me, rolled away from me, it's over, it's done, it's gone. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's gotten rid of. It's been cut away by the flint knife of Jesus Christ. And it's gone. He's thrown it away. Just like the foreskin was tossed aside. Well, that sin's tossed aside just like that foreskin. That necrotic material. It has been judged. Now, I have to rest up for a couple of days. I'm sure if any man could tell you what circumcision as an adult is like, or if any child, any baby could speak about what it's like, they'd tell you it's an unpleasant experience. Well, I know that you and I both know that when we let him cut away these things from us, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it brings tears. And we do to go through a rest period. We want to. We do kind of rest up. And we don't go back to him and say, okay, Lord, what's next? I'm ready. No, we're not. We rest up from that. We may lick our wound for a couple of days. Well, we're going to rest on the 12th. And we're going to rest on the 13th. That's what they did. So the 12th, if you look on your paper, the 12th speaks of the kingdom. It speaks of power and authority. You have entered into the kingdom. And by His power and by His authority in your life, He has done this to you. You have allowed Him to do it. You are kingdom living. And on the 13th, which speaks of rebellion, you have allowed Him to take away that rebellion in your heart. No longer will you rebel and say, it's okay for me to do this. I can do this. There's no problem. It's not okay anymore, and He's taken it away. And you are cleansed from that. And so as we rest for our 12th and our 13th day, we enter into the 14th day. We are now ready to get on with our lives. And what we do on the 14th day is that we celebrate the Passover. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. 14, look at your sheet again. 14 means salvation and deliverance. We have been delivered from our sins. We know that when Christ died on the cross, He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Yes, He did. He actually performed tooth surgery on the devil. He took the teeth out of the lion. Now that lion cannot bite us anymore, except that we give him permission to. The problem is that we don't. We have been delivered from him, except where he comes and deceives us and talks us into letting him back in our life, as Eve did, no different. We allow him back in the same way. She did not have to do that, and we don't either. We have been delivered from it. Isn't it wonderful? We don't have to, but we do. Now, because we do, Jesus Christ cleanses us each time we allow Him to circumcise us and cleanse us from our sins. We are delivered from that sin. You want to get delivered from some weakness in you? You give it up. You physically say, I give it up. I give it into your hands. It's over. It's done with. You have it. He will take it away if you mean business. If it's not, if you have trouble with it, it's a stronghold. And that's what walking in Canaan is all about. Strongholds, not being willing to give them up. But he came to deliver us. And that's the 14th day. Okay, so they celebrated the Passover on the 14th day. And where does it say they did it? At even in the plains of Jericho. Right there in Jericho's backyard. Let's turn to Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, in verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who are my enemies? You know, my biggest enemy is Satan. My enemies are those within myself, my own weaknesses that Satan knows that are there. And right before my enemies, Jesus Christ feeds me. He feeds me himself, which gives me the power to turn over to him my life for him to change it. He has done it all. It's kind of like praying that prayer. When I'm not ready to give up my stronghold, all I have to do is say, Jesus, make me willing to be willing to let you take it away. That's all we need. We eat on Him. We feast on Him. And that gives us the strength to turn something over so that He can change our life. Okay. Now, back to Joshua chapter 5. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, which was unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. We've talked about this before. This is fruit of Canaan. The people had left the land. They had gone into Jericho. It was shut up. And they had left their storehouses. And when I looked up the word old corn of the land, this is stored grain. They didn't have any. They didn't bring it from the wilderness. This was grain that they had gotten once they passed over into Jordan. And they made their Passover meal, their unleavened bread, with it. It symbolizes fruit, the fruitful life. Once we have passed over, we can start producing fruit. What is our fruit? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Just to review again. I shouldn't have said it that way. Review again. To review. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 17. No, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, those are all sexual sins, idolatry, and witchcraft, those are religious sins, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, that's agape love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have sacrificed, crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right, let's get back to the last little thing here. Jesus Christ has done it all. He has led us across Jordan. He is the one that has sacrificed Himself for us, that we should eat, that we gain the power to give up our sins. He takes those sins away from us and throws them away as dung. And He is the one that covers our sins. He is the only one that can cover it in love. You remember last week we closed out by talking about the tribes taking up the 12 stones out of the Jordan River and carrying them over onto the other side, and that these stones were symbolizing the bearing of the waters, bared our sins, exposed our sins. And Jesus, if you'll turn to Joshua 4, verse 9, yes, they did that. They set up a memorial, and it says in verse 8, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua, in verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. Joshua put 12 stones in the place where the feet of the Israelites stood carrying that ark. Now the waters covered those 12 stones up. So in other words, Jesus covers our sins. Yes, they are exposed. They are exposed. We are to allow Him to expose them. And it hurts. This is circumcision. But then what does He do? Jesus, you notice it was Joshua alone took those stones back over there and put them down. He didn't have any help from anybody. Joshua stands for Jesus. He set the stones not the same stones. He set stones as a memorial of what he had done back in the river when the Jordan covered them back up. Okay, be sure and be here next week when we attack Jericho.